Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Get those notebooks out. Let's get to work. He's a wonder. Now, I told you during this season that we would be dealing with four key areas. Yeah, I know it. That we were going to be bold, going to be focused, be humble, and be willing. Be bold. Be focused. Be humble. And be willing. Turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Let's get right to work. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It reads, I switched mics, he got it. Now in the days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, what'd you say, John? Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of the Lord crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, looking all prophetic and stuff. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. Now, that's the first part of the text that we dealt with on last week. If you didn't get the message about being bold, go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to that, and you should probably go back and listen to Wednesday, too. I don't know what I said. I don't know. There you go. There it is. So we see John the Baptist operating in real boldness. Here's the problem, people of God. Sometimes you can know what to do and not be able to maintain the boldness to do it. I'll do it again. Sometimes you can know what to do and not be able to maintain the boldness to do it. The issue is, Vincent, that some of us are only bold sometimes. Give it to you another way. Some of us have a selective righteousness syndrome, where I'll be righteous, Deacon Sanders, as long as the circumstances is right. I'm good till you push me. Don't you push me close to the edge. Huh? You do it. So the question that we have today is, what does it take to maintain the posture of spiritual maturity and boldness consistently? Now, I know what's in my notes, and I know it's about to be a lot. So I'm going to give it to you in small chunks. You're welcome. It takes focus. Somebody say focus. And before I look at the next portion of text, going into that very next verse, I'll just have the media team leave verse 6 up. Before I get to verse 7, let me give you some background of focus. Because what I don't get done, I always have Wednesday. Write this down. Spiritual focus is the desire and discipline. I'll do it again. Spiritual focus is the desire and discipline to remain fixed on the standard of God, regardless of circumstance. I know it. I'll do it again. Spiritual focus is the desire, I want to, and discipline I'm committed to remain fixed on the standard of God, be ye steadfast, unmovable, regardless of circumstance. That was two times. Here's the third. Spiritual focus is the desire and discipline to remain fixed on the standard of God, regardless of circumstance. Now, here's where things get a little funny, though, Kim. True focus is only verified when the antagonist called distraction is present. I'll do it again. True spiritual focus is only verified when the antagonist called distraction is present. Let me explain. You can't tell me you're focused when you have no other options. It done got quiet. You can't go around, I'm so focused, you ain't got no options. You're not focused, you're limited. Your ability to remain fixated is turned on by default because ain't nothing you can focus on. Huh? If you ain't got no TV in your house, don't tell me you disciplined not to watch TV. Ain't no TV in your house. You don't know whether or not you got lack of TV discipline or not. Okay. Furthermore, you can't talk to me about options if the options are inferior. Okay, let's keep working. I'll put it into an example. Telling me that you're focused on not spending money when you ain't got no money to spend? I'm so focused, you know. No spend November. You don't have nothing to spend. So telling me that you're focused on not spending money when you don't have any money to spend does not exemplify focus. Whereas, hold on, telling me you're focused on not spending money when you have plenty of money, now you can celebrate discipline. I'll go to the next one. Telling me you resisted the urge to buy a fake gold chain when you're already wearing five real gold chains does not exemplify focus. Don't tell me that you're so focused when you have something superior already in your possession. Your ability to turn down the inferior does not tell me that you're focused. It could just tell me you're selective. Okay, I'll give it to you another way. Passing up on the iPhone 15 when you have the money for the iPhone 15, but the iPhone 13 is working perfectly fine. Now we can celebrate discipline. I don't care if they're giving you, free and an extra pair of Beats and an Apple Watch and a tablet, and they're going to take some money off your bill. I don't care. Sound like a good deal until you got to pay all that data and insurance for it. Trust me, they ain't losing no money. We are. True focus is verified when the antagonist called distraction is present. I'm about to go a little further. I told you I'm going to take it slow. But can't I just eliminate my distractions, Bishop? Can't I just eliminate my distractions? I'll remove the social media apps from my phone. I'll do all of these hurdles with my screen time and my do not disturb settings, and so I can be focused. I'll go through all of these gymnastics to be focused. Watch this. When there is no distraction, do you really have discipline? If I have no distractions, do I really have discipline, or am I lying about what looks like strength because I've been able to create a temporary distraction scarcity? Excuse me? I've been able, through all of my gymnastics, to create what looks like a distraction-free zone, only to serve as a cover-up for my lack of discipline. I'm really not disciplined at all. I don't know that I'm disciplined until I'm able to engage the muscle called discipline in the presence of distraction. Oh, yeah. See how quiet it's getting in the room? Having a great day, aren't we? True focus is verified when the antagonist called distraction is present. And to achieve focus, listen, write this down, I must value focus over distraction. To achieve focus, I must value focus over distraction. I must value focus, write it down, over distraction. Now, let me tell you something about value. Write the word value in your notes. Value is assigned, believed, and then stewarded. Value is assigned, believed, and then stewarded. One more time. Value is assigned, believed, and then stewarded. When I was 6 years old, I went to Oklahoma. It was the first time I had been to the place of my father's birth. I went to Oklahoma and I met my grandfather for the first time. I was 6 years old. He seemed like he was a million feet tall. He was around 7 feet and some change, but he just seemed really, really big to a little bitty six-year-old. My grandfather, we called him Big Daddy. His name was Warren McGee. He worked on an oil field, out in the oil field with the big oil things going. I remember it was the most amazing thing in the world. I had never seen anything like it because, after all, I grew up in the city. I don't know anything about this. All the roads were dirt. I got there. They were sweeping the front yard. This was amazing. It's the first time I had seen a glass Coke bottle. It's a whole bunch of things I had never seen before. And he's just huge, and I'm out there, and he took the hat off of his head, and he gave it to me. And it was a hat that had the name of the oil place where he worked at, and he put that hat on me. He said, "Here you go, little one," and I put that hat on. And it was just a little trucker hat, you know, a little snapback, little something. It was made out of foam. It probably was worth a dollar. But my granddaddy gave it to me. So I assigned value to it. I assigned it. I believed it. I stewarded it. I don't care what you think how much it's worth. It's worth a lot to me. So therefore, when I came back, after having that hat for a few years, every time I put it on, that was my memory of him. One day on the playground, around the fourth or fifth grade, I was wearing my hat. And this little girl came and took my hat. She thought it was funny. I did not. She took off running with my hat. I did not find this amusing. "Don't you play with my hat." She ran and ran and ran and ran around with my hat. And I thought to myself, this is not a game of chase. You think we're playing chase. When I catch you, I'm going to hurt you. Because I've assigned value. Okay. I've assigned it, I've believed it, and now I'm stewarding it. I won't tell you what I did to her when I found her. So when you assign something, this is how much it's worth. When you believe it, no matter what the sales pitch of your distraction is, I believe in the value of focus more. No matter what the sales pitch of distraction is, I believe in the value of focus more. I'm really almost done, because I'm going to get this to you and it's going to hurt a little bit. But it has to be stewarded. Stewardship is the behavior produced by what I believe. Stewardship is the behavior produced by what I believe. So now let's look at verse 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them," this is John the Baptist, "you brood of vipers," lead us up. You brood. Here come the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to get baptized. Now listen to me. These are three distractions we must be mindful of. Number one, it is possible to get distracted by success. Write that down. It's number one. It is possible to get distracted by success. Excuse me? He sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism. One would think that he would go, "Welcome," and it be done. Because after all, that's what I want. I want y'all to get baptized. This is not what I expect. You brood of vipers. This This would be like you working really, really hard, you working really, really hard, and you finally open up your shop, you open up your shop, and you sell flowers, and somebody comes into your flower shop, your first customer, you done spent all this money, here come your first customer into the flower shop, and you say, you nasty, low-down liar, you. I just got here. I just want a half a dozen roses. But watch this. They were a brood of vipers. So it's easy to get distracted by success and then forget what God told you. See, focus says, I will not be distracted. Even when it looks as if all I would have had to do is just baptize them and go on about my business. Okay, let me give it to you another way. Step one out of 10 is good, but it's not the end. Step one out of 10 is good, but that's not the end. Don't allow the completion of step one to cause you to lose it. Like, whoo, done with step one. We're done. This would be the equivalent of the basketball game starts. I dribble down court. I make the layup. I cheer. I take off my jersey, and I go to the locker room. First point, first quarter. We're done. Game's not over. Don't get so excited on the success of step one that you forget there's 9 more steps. The rebuke by John the Baptist shows our second distraction. Write this down. It is possible to get distracted by the presence of bitterness and frustration. I know, it's all right. I told you I was going to give it to you. I just got a few more minutes. I only got one more point. Thank you, Carlos. Carlos is going to encourage me. It is possible to get distracted by the presence and reality of bitterness and frustration. Write in your notes. Don't. I know it. So he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, many of us would have went on deeper into verse 7. You brood of vipers, your mama a viper, your cousin and them a viper, all of them, bald-head vipers, nasty vipers. Everybody a viper. Let me tell you how much of a viper you are. Huh? A matter of fact, I didn't decide I'm going to put out a sign. No vipers allowed. It's possible to get distracted by the presence and reality of bitterness and frustration. Don't. You can get so upset with the person or situation that, watch this, you lose focus while you're trying to tell them off. You can't even get to the next piece. You're so mad at them that you done lost focus on what God told you to do because you're enjoying, you're relishing in that good old tell-off. Because some of y'all ain't forgot how to do compound complex cussing. Come on. Some of y'all ain't forgot. Y'all can do compound complex. Huh? You can make it sound real ratchet. Huh? And professional at the same time. You got that CEO level cussing. And God is like, get back to the work. We ain't got time for all this. You relishing. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. We ain't going to say verse 8. Simon, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. We would have never got here. We would have been still in brood of vipers. We would have still been right there. He's like, listen, I need y'all to repent because that's my job. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. He has not lost focus. Have you? He has not lost focus. Have you? Have you lost focus? Are you so busy trying to get them back, you ain't doing God's will? Are you making decisions based upon what it's going to look like to them, or are you doing the will of God? Here's number 3. I'm for real. Y'all thought I'm playing. I'm going to give it to you in chunks because I'm looking at y'all, and some of y'all hyperventilating already. Here's number 3. It is possible to get distracted by the danger associated with truth. I'll do it again. I see you, Kim. It is possible to get distracted by the danger associated with truth. Third time. It is possible to get distracted by the danger associated with truth. What, excuse me? Sometimes you won't say and do what needs to be done because you're afraid of what it's going to cause. You're literally distracted by, okay, so some of us are distracted by success. Woo, first sale, we ain't done. Some of you are distracted by bitterness. You so busy going off, you ain't focused. But then there's other ones of us who are distracted by what if? What if they feel some type of way about what I said? What if they feel some type of way about what God called me to do? You ain't got time for they what ifs. First of all, they not God. Who called you? You ain't got time. They gonna feel how they feel. That felt great. Okay, I'm gonna say it again. They gonna feel how they feel. They gonna say what they gonna say. They gonna do what they gonna do, but God's bigger. We done with that now? I got to remain focused. I have placed more value in the focus than I have in other people's opinion. You ain't this? Fine. I won't be that. I'm gonna keep doing the will of God. You ain't smart enough? Fine. You ain't old enough? Fine. You do this? Fine. Not over in the west side? Cool. We don't do that in 45417. No problem. That ain't gonna work. Cool. You ain't got to participate. Or quiet in here. While the truth will make you free, the truth, watch this, and that freedom does not always make other people happy. The truth will make you free, but the truth don't make everybody happy. And we can get distracted by other people's opinions. Somebody say, stick to your guns. Look at verse 9. Do not suppose that you can say to yourself, we have Abraham for your father. Because, I mean, he's just digging on in. He said, brood of vipers, repent. Then he said, don't y'all be going around talking about I got Abraham for my father. For I say to you, now this is heavy talk, Chris Simon, because he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's like, I don't care nothing about you and your relationship with Abraham. They would have been saying, oh. I mean, they would have been clutching the pearls for real. Don't be going up here like y'all somebody because y'all claim Abraham. I'm John the Baptist. See, y'all. You got to understand, when God puts you in something, you got to be so steady in what God said that you're not intimidated by what they say. They walking up like, we Pharisees. He's like, I'm John the Baptist. Now what? We doing this? I'm a Sadducee. I'm John the Baptist. Huh? My robe fills the temple. I got on camel hair. What you want? I eat at the best tables. I eat locusts and wild honey. We doing this? I am not concerned about who you think you are. And just because you claim Abraham, just because your credit score is higher than mine, just because you live in a better neighborhood than I do, just because you got more seats in your sanctuary, does not mean that you got more God than me, does not mean you got more anointing than me, does not mean God works for you better than he works for me. I'm not distracted. Because when you get distracted by stuff like that, you start chasing what it looks like instead of going after what God said. You done put all this money to drive like they drive and live in the neighborhoods that they live in. They don't even want you there. Y'all not in here. They don't even want you over there. So you done went and went way into debt to live next to somebody who don't even like you when you could have had community with people who love you. Now, Lila. Verse 10. You all right back there? The axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit, including you, oh, nasty Pharisee viper, y'alls, cut down. Thrown into the fire. True focus. I told you I was going to give it to you in chunks. True focus is verified when the antagonistic called distraction is present. Don't tell me you focus when you ain't got no distractions. Tell me you focus when the distraction is right there in front of you. Tell me you focus when they in your inbox. Tell me you focus when you got a text because you done messed around and gave the devil your number. Tell me you focus when the job offer is in your hand. Don't tell me you focus when ain't nobody offered you nothing. Oh, tell me you focus when there's an offer. Because that's when I'm going to verify whether or not the focus is real. Don't talk about I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the precious gift. You ain't got no offers. You ain't got no offers. I can't tell you focus till you got some offers to mess up. Because the fact that you chose righteousness, that's your decision. But being righteous when unrighteousness was never an opportunity. Okay. Don't tell me how much you love your spouse when ain't nobody. Oh, never mind. Huh? Huh? Let me see. Let me see. See, it done got quiet in here now. They're looking at me all wise and otherwise. The only person that like you is your spouse. Don't nobody else like you. You're not focused. Don't get distracted by success. Focus is more valuable. I just had to lay some groundwork today. Because listen, there's going to be an axe laid to this thing. And whether or not y'all want it or not, I'm going to swing the axe with all the strength I got. Just don't get distracted by success. We still got more stuff to do here. Don't y'all rest. Oh, come on, y'all. We can't get distracted by success, people of God. Don't do that. Focus is more valuable. We can't get distracted by bitterness. You ain't got time to be walking around holding no grudge on nobody. You cannot do it. It's cancerous. It's toxic. I don't care what they did. Focus is more important. Focus is more valuable. I don't care about you being able to call the roll and they did this and they did that. But what did God do? Think on these things. Don't get distracted by the danger of the journey. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do what I got to do. And some of us right now, you need to tell yourself the truth. My bad, God. I am not focused. I'm all over the place. And I think that getting focused, watch this. I think that I'm going to get focused by eliminating the distraction. No, you get focused by being focused. I'm going to eliminate distractions. So you done changed your number, changed your address, got you a new notebook, got you a fresh pen. Huh? Deleted all the apps off your phone, threw away all your clothes, and you're still a mess. You're not focused. Now you're just frustrated. You ain't got no clothes. You ain't got no clothes. You got one pair of shoes, pair of jeans. You just devastated. Two shirts, a pair of jeans, half a suit, and, huh? Half a suit. You only kept the jacket. You said, I'm just going to wear the jacket with some jeans. I'm going to wear the jackets with these jeans. Focus is verified. It's mad. Focus is verified when the presence of distraction is there. Somebody say, Lord, make me focus. Come on, one more time. Say, Lord, make me focus. Now, here's what I need y'all to do. I need you to be honest about what's distracting you. No, serious. This is homework. I need y'all to be honest about what's distracting you. Because watch this. If you say, it's that TV show. I'm just going to stop watching TV. All you'll do is start scrolling. Does that make sense? Somebody say, get focused. Father, I thank you and I honor you. I give you praise. Amen. You're good. Mm-hmm. You're kind. You're merciful. Yes, you are. Lord, I know that some of us are going to lie about this. Mm-hmm. We're going to come before you, God, and we're going to hold up our little accomplishments as if we are now focused. This week, show us that we are not. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I gave y'all a nugget.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.